My name is Jerry Burnett, and I'm the president of the Huntsville-Madison County Branch NAACP.
Huntsville has had a few protests now, up to 1,200 people coming out. So can you sort of start by saying what kind of work it takes to put together a protest like Wednesday's?
Oh, on Wednesday, we had a number of groups and we had a number of groups to come together, which was Limestone County Branch NAACP. We had our college chapters of NAACP from UAH, and I think some came from Oakwood. And each one had a role to play. And my role was to make arrangements to host the rally here in Huntsville, which originally we had planned to host it on the Courthouse Square. But then that permit was denied, and we was moved from there to the Big Spring East, which kind of threw a monkey wrench in our operations, because everyone was planning on protests and then a march after the protest. But then the city denied the permit to do the march. So after the protest was over, those members of the NAACP realized that we didn't have a permit to march, so we did not participate in the march after the protests.
Did the city give you a reason as to why they were denying your request for the permit?
It was because of what had taken place on that Monday night. There was some, it looked like there was some opposition with the police and a number of other things that, hate to get all into it because I don't know the full details, but it was because of what had happened that Monday night was why they denied us a permit.
So I would imagine after 6:30 when they said it was time to go home, did you stick around or did you personally feel, okay, it's time to go home?
No, I was quite tired because I had a lot of equipment to put on the truck. So after we taken down our equipment, we are taught throughout the NAACP is to follow the rule of law. And in that case, there was no permit. So we are taught to follow the rule of law and to obey the officers. And if they give you a command, even if it's wrong, we are taught to follow up, follow through, and then you sue the next day. With that in mind, we all left because we didn't want to be accused of taking part in an unlawful assembly.
And I know that for a while there, when the protest was being planned, 8 o'clock was going to be the cutoff. But then sort of last minute, maybe a couple hours before, it was changed to 6:30. Did you hear any feedback on that? You know, why that might have happened? Or
I've gotten a number of questions, as to why it turned out like that. And my answer to them is because of the permit. You know, if we're not authorized to march, then we don't participate in it. Because if you're authorized, then you have the protection of the police to hold back the traffic. So if you're not authorized, then you take it upon yourself to occupy an area or block the traffic. Then you become a lawbreaker. And we chose not to take part in that.
Well, we are facing a couple of different huge, sort of daunting things right now, a pandemic and then this unrest in the country over the Black Lives Matter movement. So with coronavirus, focusing on that, how is the NAACP and other organizations telling protesters to stay safe when they go out to protest?
It's pretty hard to maintain a social distance, what they recommend, but we encourage them to be as safe as possible by wear your mask and try to wash your hands, you know, as often as possible. And hopefully you'll be all right.
You were saying that the method that you go by is with the protest, thinking of the Wednesday protest. You listen to the police, whether it's right or wrong, and then you sue afterward.
What I was saying is that if a police officer asks you, "We want to search your car," and he don't have a permit, allow him to search it. You know, if you've got nothing to hide, let him search it. And then if he force you and hold you at gunpoint and say, "I want to search it," you know, no matter what, also, rather than to get into a confrontation with him, then we are taught to follow his command. And if it's a law-breaking command, then you have an opportunity to sue him tomorrow. That's my point. It's because at the end of the day, we all want to go home alive. And a dead person, you get into a confrontation with a police officer, you probably would come out on the losing end because he have the badge and he have the gun. And in most cases, he got, whether he's right or wrong, he got the backing of the city hall. The best thing that any individual can do in order to de-escalate is to follow his or her command and then live to see another day and meet them in the court system and battle it out there.
Do you see police here in Huntsville doing what you just described, you know, asking to search your car without a warrant, things like that happening very often?
We've gotten a number of complaints that individuals said it. This is what happened, you know, but to me, you know, I haven't seen it personally, and it have not happened to me. But I can only go by what I hear from other people.
I spoke with the chief of police last Friday, and he was saying that he has a really great relationship with you. Do you tend to agree with that?
I agree with that. We get along well, and I have no hard feelings with the chief. You know, we work together well. You know, and if it's something that I can request of him, and if he can accommodate, good. And the same thing goes with me. You know, if it's something that I can do, and me and the chief can work together on, we try to do that. We have a good relationship. We have an understanding relationship. You know, I think that as long as we all abide by the law that's on the books, then we will have a relationship.
After 6:30, an hour or so after that, they allowed protesters to continue to, whoever wanted to stay behind and, you know, chant and march and whatever they wanted to do. But then they advanced non-lethal irritants. They used those threw those into the crowd, used rubber bullets, flashbangs, tear gas, things like that. Do you think that was the right response for them to do?
I think that might have been a little heavy-handed, but then I don't know how, what would be, you know, if they ask you to disperse, and if they give you time to disperse, and then you refuse to disperse because you have the right to protest, I'm not sure if that's the best thing to do. In my case, I would not have done it, you know, I don't want to dictate how the police should carry out their responsibility. You know, I think that if anyone feel like they was abused by the system, then challenge them in the courtroom.
And I read that the Huntsville Police Citizens Advisory Council is going to review the events that happened that night. Is the NAACP involved in that council, whether by comments or do you have representation on that?
They have not invited us to be a part of that, so unless we are invited to be a part of it, then we probably would not be a part of it. It's the same way with filing a complaint with the NAACP. A number of people don't understand how the system works. They think that if something happened with them and with whatever, then the NAACP should automatically just come to their rescue. But that's not how it works. They have to file a complaint with us and invite us to be a part of, you know, if they want representation, then they need to file a written complaint with the NAACP. I know there was some people that was there at our rally on last Wednesday, and they had some remarks. They made some remarks about what we didn't do in their situation. But what they didn't do was invite us to be. We're not like Matt Dillon. We don't have a badge, and we don't have the authority to just interfere in other people's affairs.
What kind of complaints are you getting from people who are coming into your office about those protests that happened on Monday, June 1st, and Wednesday, June 3rd?
People haven't come into the office with a complaint. I've gotten a couple of calls wanting to know why did that happen, why wouldn't we there? We was not there because we didn't have a permit to be there. Our permit expired at 7 p.m. You know, like I said, we originally asked for a permit to march after the protests. It was denied. But then we have people that question. I had one lady send me an email and asked me if I had prior knowledge of any police activity to follow, which I did not have any prior knowledge. I think maybe she was wondering, why wouldn't we there? We came prepared to make a speech and to go home. And that's all I had was my notebook And my, of course, I had electronic equipment for the PA system and stuff. And after the rally was over, we taken that home. Anything to follow that we had no knowledge of and we was not a part of.
Can you give our listeners an idea of what you talked on in that speech?
Well, in that speech, I talked about the we are facing two crises, and one is the COVID-19, and one is the police brutalities that's taking place. And it's like a double dose of bad luck. And I talked about what we could do to follow up on it. Like, I encourage people that if you want real change, you have to register and to vote and to put politicians in office who would make policies. And policies is what bring about change. And this is how the system works. That's what's good about a democracy. We all have a voice, and our voice is amplified by voting. And politicians hear us more clearly when we vote, because they know that if we have the power to put them in office, then we also would have the power to pull them out of office. When we start exercising that right, we will see a change come. Politicians act on what the voting population tell them to do. You can go out in the street and you can march. That's good. Protest, that's wonderful. But to amplify that, we need to vote. We need to back it up with the power of the vote. That is the message that I tried to deliver to the crowd.
I want to acknowledge that you have been a huge advocate for voting rights and, you know, for getting people to register to vote for the last how many years, would you say?
Oh, well over 20. And it's hard to make a number of particularly young people understand that this is the most important thing that you can do to bring about change. Everything is driven by policy. And whether we vote or not, someone will be put in office. And whoever that someone is will make the policies. And we will have to follow the guidelines of the policies that's put on the book, because it becomes law. And if you do not follow the guidelines of the policies on the book, then you become a lawbreaker. If somebody's going to make a decision that I'm going to have to live by, I want to be a part of selecting that person who's making that decision that I've got to live by.
You know, at these protests, there have been politician presence, local politician presence, such as Mayor Tommy Battle, Council President Devin Keith. Do you think that protesters, especially young protesters who see them show up, is that going to, in your opinion, change the voter turnout this year for the better?
I think if they hear from the politicians that's making the policies, it would help them to show up, because they would know that whether they like the policy that that politician is putting on the book or if they dislike it. If they listen to the mayor and not like what they hear coming out of his mouth, then they have a responsibility and an opportunity at the next election is to, wait, I don't like what he's done. I'm going to vote him out of office. That's your right. And if you give up that right, you don't have the right to complain.
When you were at the protest on Wednesday, June 3rd, Chief Mark McMurray said that there were some out-of-town protesters who came in to stir things up, you know, started throwing things at police officers. Have you heard from people who said they saw those people from out of town, or are you not really hearing that?
I'm not aware of that. I can tell you this, there were people bringing, I don't know, they was bringing milk to for tear gas. So somebody came there with a different idea than what we had, because we even questioned, so why are they bringing milk to the rally? We had a voter registration table set up, and there were people coming and bringing stuff that was unordinary for the have a just a rally, you know, because that's all we came for was a rally. Maybe some other people came with different ideas, but I don't know. I don't have that intelligence, you know, what the chief was looking at. All I have is their word.
Would you say that those events with the tear gas and the rubber bullets and things like that, the way that the police responded to those protesters who would not leave, would you say there are any sort of similarities or differences between that and what happened in, during the civil rights movement at the protest here in Huntsville?
I see that as a quite big difference between the civil rights movement, and there was, I think they was a little harsher during the civil rights movement. They was using dogs in big heavy-duty fire hydrants, which was would take the skin off people. That fire hydrant, the water pressure was that high. I didn't see that happening here Monday or Wednesday. And the tear gas was, I guess they tear gassed them back then, but it was somewhat different, but similarities, yes. And then, too, recently, we've seen as many whites as it is blacks that's protesting, which back in the day, it was a lot more, just about all blacks, but there was a few whites. But it was a big difference in the way that the police responded. Yes.
These peaceful protests that are happening, as you said, are, you know, black, white, all kinds of races coming together to protest against police brutality. So what do you hope to see come out on the other side of these protests? What sort of future would you hope to see for our community here in Huntsville?
I would hope that the police change its policies, and I would hope that the police would not protect bad actors. You know, if you got a bad actor, he really doesn't, he shouldn't be protected no matter what. You know, like right now we see them, they protect police and they make excuse for them even when they're wrong. They shouldn't do that. If anybody do wrong, they should be held accountable. And I think that would make a big difference with citizens.
A lot of people are wondering how they can help. They are wondering how they can bring more awareness to the Black Lives Matter movement against police brutality. How would you say people could go about doing that the best way here in Huntsville and Madison County?
By observing it and telling it like it is. You know, if you see it, tell it. Just be honest. Because I think that that's the main problem is a lot of people is living in denial. When if you know it's wrong, no matter what color.